We in the church have something that most people wish they had. What is it? What is it that you say most people wish they had? You might say, well, it's money. Most people wish they had more money. Some people wish they had more power, or maybe knowledge. If I only had more knowledge, if I had maybe a college degree, or maybe having good friends. Some people wish they had more friends, or good health, especially if you don't have good health. That's one of the things that most people wish they had. No, what most people wish they had that we do have is one word, and that is the truth. We have the truth. This one aspect of our relationship with God is the most sought after and the hardest thing to find in religion. Everyone in religion is looking for truth. Some people claim that they have the truth. Some people say that truth is, you're never going to find it because there's no such thing as truth. Why is truth so hard to find? What is it about our nature that makes this search so complicated? Why is it that most people do not find truth? Today we're going to look at this subject, the subject of truth. We're going to see what it is and some of its characteristics, some of its attributes, some ways of describing it. And we're also going to see how truth affects us. All of us in here, no matter what your age are all affected by truth. All of us are. So first thing we need to consider and we need to define is the word truth. What is truth? What is truth? Well, let's look at some things that are true. There are some things that are true, such as facts. 4 + 4 = 8. That's a fact. There's lots of facts in life, lots of things in life that are true. But these things cannot give you life. You know, I can know 4 + 4 = 8. I can know the sum of the squares of the prime numbers between 1 and 20. I can know the distance to the nearest star. I can know how many feet there are in a mile. I can know how to convert kilograms to pounds. I can know how to do all those things. But none of them give us life. Facts are essentially things that do not give us life, with very few exceptions. Now, there is one exception, and that is God. The Bible defines God in many, many different ways. God is love. God is a lawgiver. God is this. God is that. There's one definition of God that we're going to look at today. That's found in Deuteronomy chapter 32. Let's go to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy. And let's look at chapter 32. And we're going to look at Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 4. He is the rock. His work is perfect. For all his ways are justice. A God of truth and without injustice. Righteous and upright is he. One of the definitions, one of the adjectives, one of the words used to describe God is truthful. God is truthful. He's a God of truth. He'll never lie to you. God has never lied. If God ever lies, he is not God anymore. God cannot lie, not because he cannot, but he wills himself not to lie. You know, you come up to certain decisions in your life, whatever they are. Do I run this red light or not? You decide to do what? To wait till the light turns green. You've willed yourself to do what is right. God is like that in every instance. He has willed himself to do what is right. And God is truth. So if you want a definition of truth, one of the definitions of truth is God. God is truth. Let's go to Psalms 146. Psalms 146. Psalms 146. And we're going to look at Psalms 146. And we're going to look in verse 6. This sermon deals with the subject of truth. 146, verse 6. Who made heaven and earth? A lot of people say, I wonder who made everything. God made everything. Who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them. Read the book of Genesis, especially the first chapter. Who keeps truth forever. Jesus, member of the God family. God the Father, the Ancient of Days in the Old Testament, are truthful. They cannot lie. They've never lied. They are truth. I want you to consider the following statement. Men are truthful. The older you are, the more you realize that that is not true, no pun intended. But men are not true. Let's go to Romans chapter 3, and let's look at how God compares with humanity. Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, verse 4. Certainly not. Indeed, let God be true, but every man a liar, as is written, that you may be justified in your words and may overcome when you are judged. What does it say about God? That God be true. You can always count on God. You can always believe God. You can don't ever doubt God. And there are some things that God has willed to happen. For example, bringing sons and daughters into his family. And there was a wrench thrown into the work, so to speak. There was a problem with that. Not with God. The problem was Satan, and men and women decided to follow Satan. You can read about that in the third chapter of Genesis. And so the problem was not God. The problem was man. Now God wanted us, and he had a plan for us, to be sons in his family. And we're not there yet. But let me tell you something, brethren. We are eventually going to be there, because God has willed that we be in his family. And sometimes in spite of ourselves, in spite of what's happening, that's going to come to fruition. So God is true. With men, women too, with men and women, you don't always know if you're being told the truth. But if you read something in the scriptures, you can always be assured that it is true. So God is truth and men are liars. As a matter of fact, let me ask you a question. Can God lie? Let's go to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. And let's look at Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18. That by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation. Is God able to lie? No, it's impossible for God to lie. Let me ask you a question. If you flap your arms hard enough, can you fly? No. Nope. Can you ever just will yourself to float in the air?
No.
Nope, you can't. That's right, you cannot. Can you breathe underwater for 20 minutes?
No.
No, you cannot. Correct. Even a child knows that. You cannot. Now, there's some things that you cannot do, but it says here that it is impossible for God to lie. That's one thing that God cannot do. God cannot lie. So we have learned a couple of things. We learned that God is truth. If you want a definition of God, love, lawgiver, justice, graceful. Add to that the word truthful or true. We know that he abides in truth forever. We know that men are liars and women are liars. Can't always believe them. Sometimes every once in a while, they'll tell the truth. Once in a while. But most of the time, people are very dishonest. And we know that compared to people and to men and women, God is the exact opposite. God will always be truthful. And then we've learned that God cannot lie. It is impossible for God to lie. Now let's consider one of the characters of the God family, Jesus Christ. Jesus, you have God the Father and you have Jesus Christ. You can read about, you know, there's all kinds of ideas and writings about God and the Godhead and the Trinity and how many people there are in the Godhead. And you can read the book of John. If you want to read the beginning, don't read Genesis. Read the book of John. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. There's a Word. He's God. He was with another being that's God. How many beings is that? Two. You got God the Father, and you got God Jesus Christ. They were both mentioned there in John. Jesus is one of the beings in the deity, in the Godhead. And Jesus is also described in certain ways. Let's go to John chapter 1. Let's look at Jesus and how he relates to truth. John chapter 1. John chapter 1. And we're going to look at John chapter 1, verse 14. John chapter 1, verse 14. And the Word became flesh. Now, which being is that? There's a Word. You know what the Word means? The Word means spokesman, logos. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus Christ is full of truth, brethren. God the Father is truthful. Jesus Christ is truthful. And they are the only beings right now that are described this way. They've existed from the beginning of time. Let me rephrase that. They've existed outside of the realm of time. People talk about time. And time, you know, scientists study time. And they study the passage of time. And they've discovered certain interesting things about time. They've discovered that time is related to gravity. And the gravity is related to the mass of an object. Those are all physical things. Time, in a sense, is a physical quality. God exists, and time was made for who? For us. You know, God doesn't need time. God is the I Am. The Moffat translation calls Him the Eternal. You know what the Eternal means? I Am. I Am. There's no before, there's no after. God is the I Am. When they were getting ready to, one of the reasons they were going to stone Jesus was He said what? He said, I Am the I Am. And they knew that that was the name of God in the Old Testament. When Moses was talking to God, he said, who do I tell people sent me? And He said, tell them the I Am sent you. So when Jesus claimed to be the I Am, He was claiming to be the one that Moses was talking to, which meant that He was claiming to be God, which the Pharisees and all the religious leaders didn't believe, so they were getting ready to stone Him for that. Jesus Christ is the I Am. He's the truth. He's the Word. He became flesh, and He was full of grace and truth. So Jesus Christ is also very, very truthful. Go forward to the 14th chapter of John. John 14. Verse 5 and verse 6. Thomas said to Him, Lord, we do not know where You are going, and how can we know the way? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father except through Me. Jesus Christ is called the truth. This was the evening of the Passover. A few hours later, Jesus would be betrayed, crucified, and all the things that go along with that. And 24 hours later, He would be resting in His tomb to be resurrected 3 days and three nights later. But it says here that Jesus Christ says, I am the way and I am the truth. 4 + 4 = 8 cannot give you the way. 4 + 4 = 8 cannot give you eternal life. Knowing the distance from here to Mars cannot give you eternal life. Knowing your weight and your height cannot give you eternal life. Those may be facts, but they do not give you eternal life. God is truth. He is the way. Jesus not only is the truth, but go forward to chapter 18. Chapter 18, verse 33. A lot of us want to convert our relatives. We want to convert our cousins. We want to convert our auto mechanic. We want to convert the dentist. We want to convert the garbage collector. We want to convert everybody we run into. Notice what it says in John chapter 18, verse 33. This is a very, very interesting subject here. Now, I want you to think about something. Do you remember when Jesus was led before the high priest right before He was crucified? And the high priest kept asking Him, show us a sign. Show us something that means that You're the Messiah. What do You have to say for Yourself? Are You the Messiah? And you know what Christ said? He never answered him. He never answered the high priest. He didn't engage with him in a conversation. You notice that He's talking to Pilate now about truth? He didn't talk to the high priest, but He's talking to Pilate. Kind of interesting. Verse 33. Then Pilate entered the praetorium, again called Jesus and said to Him, are You the King of the Jews? And Jesus answered and said, are You speaking for Yourself about this? Or did others tell you this concerning me? Where did you hear this from? Pilate said, Am I a Jew? I'm not a Jew. Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you to me. What have you done? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight. You going to fight? Yes, you are. Read Revelation 19. You come down on the Mount of Olives with Jesus Christ, and there's a great battle, and you're going to fight. My servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews, but now my kingdom is not from here. You know why we don't fight in this world's war? Because this world doesn't fight for God's kingdom. It fights for its own various reasons. Pilate therefore said to him, Are you a king then? Jesus said, You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Jesus Christ witnesses for the truth. Kind of interesting that he would not talk to the high priest, but he would talk to Pilate. I should come into the world that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. Question, do you hear Jesus Christ? If you don't hear Jesus Christ, then you're not of the truth. Now, it's interesting. What did Pilate say? Pilate said to him in verse 38, What's truth? You know, Pilate was a very educated man. Probably had the equivalent of several college degrees in our present day time. He was a Roman official. Very wise person. You know, passed judgments on people. And he says, what's truth? There's no such thing as truth. Now, I want you to consider, here's Pilate talking to truth in the flesh, and he did not recognize it. So what chance do you think you have of converting your milkman, unless God is opening their mind? Now, if God's opening their mind, that's a different subject. And he'll probably convert him without your help. But there are people who try to convert everyone they come across. It's not going to happen unless God is opening that person's mind. The things we learn here are very interesting. There is such a thing as truth. There are some people that do not listen to the truth. And Jesus said that he came to witness the truth. So Jesus is a witness of the truth. So we see that God the Father is truth. We see that Jesus is truth, and he came to witness of the truth. There's people that say, I wish I could find what was true. I wish I knew what the truth was. Go to John 17. Forward back a few pages maybe, or a few columns. John 17:17. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. You know what is true? Jesus Christ, God the Father, and the words he wrote, or they wrote. The Bible is true. If you want to know what the truth is, brethren, put your noses in your Bible. Put your noses in the Bible. That's what truth is. Don't depend on men. Don't believe what I tell you. Don't believe what you hear on the television set. Don't believe what your friends tell you that truth is. Put your nose in the Bible, read what it says, and that is truth. And if God is guiding you, you're going to understand it. And if God is not guiding you, you're going to be like Pilate. What is truth? What is truth? Do you understand about the Sabbath? Do you understand about the Passover? Do you understand about the Ten Commandments? Do you understand about this and about that? Then you know the truth. God is working with you. My wife had an interesting conversation with a lady today. Not today, a few days ago. And this lady that she was conversing with used to be a church member a long, long time ago, raised in the church. She left the church. And she was talking to my wife and said, do you still go to that church that keeps the Sabbath? I said, yes, we do. You know, well, since I left that church, I've been going to a Sunday church, but they don't understand about the Sabbath. You know why they don't understand about the Sabbath? They don't have the truth. The girl was on the verge, possibly, of understanding the truth. But you know where she got? She says, I read the Bible and it talks about the Sabbath, but it didn't talk about Sunday. You know where she was getting that little bit of truth from? From the Scriptures. If you want to know what the truth is, read your Bible. Read what the book says, and that will tell you what truth is. So the Word of God is truth. What are we supposed to do with this truth? Remember Esau? He sold his birthright for a bowl of red bean soup, porridge made out of red beans. It was like a bowl of beans. He sold his birthright for a bowl of beans. I know people that have left the truth for a job. Bowl of beans. I know people that have left the truth. Oh, that's a nice looking girl over there. I think I'll marry her instead of marrying somebody in the faith. They left the truth. All kinds of reasons that people leave the truth. What are we supposed to do with the truth? Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs chapter 23. Are we supposed to give away the truth? Proverbs 23, verse 23. Buy the truth and do not sell it. Buy the truth and do not sell it. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. You know, get a wisdom. What is wisdom? The beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. Buy the truth and do not sell it. You know what we're supposed to do with the truth? We're supposed to buy it. And do not sell it. Do not sell it. The truth in many places in the scriptures is likened to buried treasure. In the Old Testament, there were lots of wars. There were lots of battles. And sometimes the soldiers were not paid. They were not paid in money. You know how they were paid? They were paid in booty. They were paid in the things that they were able to get. So lots of times the winning soldiers had bags of treasures with them. And you know what they would do with these bags of treasure? They're going to another battle. Gold is heavy. All these things are heavy. They would bury them. They would bury the treasure in a field somewhere. And you know that there was a law in the Old Testament that said if there was a field, if there was a treasure found and it was buried in a field, the owner of the field, that was their treasure. There were so many treasures and so many caches of money and coins and things like that that they passed a law in the land of Israel that if you had a field and you found a treasure, whoever owned the field owned the treasure. You ever heard the story about the man that sold everything to buy the field? You know why he was buying the field? He was digging in the field and he found this treasure there. Let me bury it. Back up. I'm going to go find out what the owner wants for this field. And then he would buy the field and guess what? The treasure was his. And that's what we're supposed to do with the truth, brethren. We're supposed to buy the truth. We're supposed to buy it and not sell it. Not get rid of it. We're not supposed to be like Esau who gave it away. We're supposed to buy it, keep it, and don't let it out of our grasp. The truth, the word of God, is like truth. How much time are you spending reading your book? You know what the word Bible means? Book. How much time are you spending reading the book? Oh, I'm too busy watching television. I can't read the Bible. I'm too busy doing this. Let me tell you something, brother. Reading the Bible is probably the most important thing you can do next to prayer. Read the book. The word, the book is truth. People want truth. I will give anything for truth. And you and I have truth sitting on our table. Probably have several different copies. I have a copy on my phone. I have a copy in my iPad. I have a copy, several, I have copies in Spanish. I have copies in English. I have copies on my computer. I can go online and find all different versions. Are you reading them? Read your book. Read the Bible. It is the way of truth. There's a person, let me rephrase that. There's a character in the scriptures that is the exact opposite of the things we have been talking about. And Mr. Dempsey mentioned him in his sermonette. Because you can be a disciple of the wrong team. Let's go to the book of John, chapter 8. John, chapter 8. John, chapter 8. You know, there's a lot. There's lots of scriptures, brethren, that are very interesting in the New Testament. Let's go to John chapter 8, verse 40. John chapter 8, verse 40. It says here, "But now you seek to kill me." This is Jesus, right? He's speaking. What did Jesus come to witness to? Truth. "But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth." Some people don't like the truth, brethren. Find a man who's committing adultery and tell him he's doing the wrong. And you know what he'll do? Oh, he'll just love you and thank you for telling him what is true. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. They said they were Abraham's children. He's telling him, well, you're not Abraham's children. If you were Abraham's children, you wouldn't try to kill me, because Abraham loved the truth. Verse 41, you do the deeds of your father. Then they said to him, we were not born of fornication. You know what this? You know what they were really saying to him? They were saying, we've heard the stories about your mother and about how, you know, supposedly, you know, she was impregnated by the Holy Spirit and, you know, she had a child before she was married. We know that that's not true. We know that you're actually born of fornication. They were accusing Jesus Christ of being a child of fornication. That's what they were saying. Here we have human beings. Here we have God in the flesh talking to them, and they say, oh, no, you're a child of fornication. We're not like you. Verse 41, you do the deeds of your father. Then they say to him, we're not born of fornication. At least we got a father. We have one father, God. They were claiming that they had God the Father. Jesus came from God the Father, brethren. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I proceed forth and come from God, nor have I come myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. Jesus Christ was truth. Satan was the father of lies. The first recorded lie, not the first lie that was ever spoken, because long before this lie was spoken, the demons were around, which meant that they were deceived before this happened. But the first recorded lie we have is Jesus telling Eve, you're not going to die if you eat of that tree. Go ahead. God doesn't want you to know what he knows. Eat of that tree. You got friends that tell you, oh no, don't do that. You need to do what I tell you. People that are trying to tell you this, they're just trying to get you into problems. Follow me. That's what Satan did. Satan lied. Satan lied to Eve, and he lied to the demons, the angels before they became demonic. And this lying deceived these angels, and they fell. Man has not fallen, brethren. Angels have fallen. And Satan, Jesus Christ says, I saw Satan fall like fire or lightning to the earth. Past tense. Satan had already fallen. Jesus Christ told these people that they were of their father, the devil, and the devil was a liar and a murderer from the beginning. And it is impossible for Satan to tell the truth. And this world systems, I'm not saying all, but a lot of the entertainment, a lot of the songs, a lot of things we're involved that try to get us involved in, that this world tries to get us involved in, are based on lies. Are based on lies. There's good songs. There's good entertainment. But you got to be very selective. But most of it is based on the father of this world, which is lies. So what is the opposite of God the Father and Jesus Christ? And the opposite of this book? Satan. Satan will lie to you as much as he can, every chance he gets. You don't have to worry about that. You can live together. You know, if you live together, it actually makes your marriage stronger. Because, you know, you get to experiment and kind of find out what suits your fancy. You know who have the longest marriages? People that have never lived together before. Now, they still have problems. But statistically, people who've never lived together have a greater chance of staying together the longest. So it goes. So statistics, truth, actually goes in the face of what people will tell you is what you should do. You know who has a better sex life? Oh, he's getting personal here. Married people. Now, this is a church setting, but married people have more sex, and they have it more often, and they're happier with it than people who are not married. Which is what television... Does television tell you that? Oh, no. Television tells you it's great to play around. Do whatever you want. That's not what truth tells you. So what I want you to see here is that Satan is a liar. He will tell you what you want to hear. And sometimes... Tell me the lies. Tell me what I want to hear. Don't tell me what I should do. Tell me what I want to hear. The Bible says at the time of the end that men and women are going to have itching ears. They're going to want to hear fables. And we live in a world that has lots of fables. So God is truth. Jesus Christ is truth. God the Father is truth. Your Bible is truth. Satan is a liar. How do you find the truth? How do you find the truth? Can you find it? Can you find the truth? Let's go to John chapter 6. And we're one of the very few churches that understands this point right here. John chapter 6, verse 44. None can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up the last day. Oh, I can find Christ. I can find Christ. I know where Christ is. No, you do not. The Bible says that unless the Father wants to be known, that you're not going to find him. You mean that God is hidden from some people? Uh-huh. Yeah, let me repeat that again. You mean that God hides himself from some people? Yes. How do I know that? Because this book says that. Not everybody who's looking for the truth is going to find it. Some people look for the truth, find some form of it, they think, and then they begin to worship that as truth. And they're convinced in their mind that that's truth, and it is not truth. It says here in John 6:44, no one can come to the Son unless the Father who sent me draws him. So unless the Father is drawing you to Christ, you're not going to find Christ. So truth, is Christ truth? So is it possible for everyone to find truth? No, because God is not drawing everyone. That's not what the world teaches you. The world teaches you, oh, anybody can find Christ. No, you cannot. You cannot find Christ unless God the Father draws you to him. That's what the Bible says. It's very plain. Why do people think differently? Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. You know why people believe these type of things? Because they believe that right now is your only opportunity for... Right now is the time that God is trying to save everyone. They don't understand about the last great day and the second resurrection and the plan that God has for the Indians that died hundreds of years ago, not even knowing Christ. Let's go to Romans chapter 11. And we're going to look at verse 7. Romans chapter 11, verse 7. What then? Israel has not obtained what it seeks. What did Israel seek? The Old Testament, they sought a relationship with God. They sought the promises of God. Israel has not obtained what it seeks, but the elect have obtained it. You know who the elect are? Those in the church. You know what elect means? We tend to think of elect as somebody that's running for office. The word elect is very closely related to selected. You know, we're not elected, we're selected. Selection comes two ways. God selects you and you decide to accept the invitation. There's two parts of being selected. I'm selecting you for this honor. I don't want it. You're going to get the honor? No. Well, I would like the honor, but I haven't been selected. Are you going to get the honor? No. The only way you get the honor is you've been selected and you decide to accept it. You know how you learn and understand the truth and you come into the body of Christ? God calls you and you decide to accept. Let me tell you something, brethren. There's lots of people that have been called, but very few have selected. The Bible says many are called, but few are... You know what the word it actually means? Many are called, but few choose. They put chosen in there because it doesn't sound so harsh. But the word could be choose. Many are called, but few choose. Some of you are being called. Some of us have been called. We have to choose. And then notice verse 7. What then? Israel has not obtained what it seeks, but the elect have obtained it, and the rest were blinded? You know what God has done to some people? And we have the blind leading the blind, brethren. The Bible talks a lot about that. Keep Sunday. Just come as you are. God loves you no matter what you do. People are blinded, brethren. They're blinded. Let's keep reading. And the rest were blinded, just as it is written. God has given them a spirit of stupor, eyes that they should not see and ears that they should not hear. To this day, God, brethren, has blinded some people to the truth. He has. That's not what all of religion tells you. All of religion tells you that if you want God, you can find him. No. You cannot find God unless God wants you to find him. Notice what it says in forward in the in verse 25. For I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own opinion, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come. The children of Israel are blinded, brethren. That's why the people in Jesus' time, many of them could not understand. They were blinded. You know, think about it. You have Jesus Christ, God in the flesh. He's going around Judea and Galilee preaching for 3.5 years. How many disciples did he have after 3.5 years? 120. You mean to tell me that God in the flesh only converted 120 people in his life? Uh-huh. That's what the Bible says. Barely converted his brothers and sisters. And one point in time, his brothers and sisters did not believe he was the Messiah. Read John chapter 7 and 8. You go up to the feast. We'll go later. Because his brothers and sisters did not believe in him. Jesus Christ, you know, if Jesus lived with me, I would recognize him. Jesus' brothers and sisters did not recognize him. You know why? Because God wasn't calling them. You know why you recognize him? Because the Father's drawing you. We're talking about blindness, why some people don't find the truth. Verse 26, and so all Israel will be saved as it is written. The deliverer will come out of Zion and will turn away ungodliness from Jacob. You know what's going to happen to Israel? Eventually, they are going to have the blindness removed and they are going to recognize the Messiah. Is that going on today? No, it is not. Who understands the truth? Those that God the Father is drawing to Christ, and only those. Does that mean we're special? No. Just means we're given our opportunity now. They will be given their opportunity later. Most religions don't understand that because they believe you got to decide now and you got to get to heaven or you got to get to hell. Bunch of pagan fantasies, brother. So some are blind and some cannot see. Let's go to John chapter 9. John chapter 9 is probably one of the most interesting stories in the Bible. And it's a funny story. It's a funny story with very interesting lessons. John chapter 9. Now this story here probably either takes place on the last day of the feast or the last great day of the feast. This is John chapter 9. And there's a lot of stories and there's a lot of verses that are very popular and everybody quotes those verses, but they never tell you, oh, by the way, this happened on one of God's holy days. They kind of leave that part out. You know why? Because they don't keep the holy days. If it had happened on Christmas, what do you think they would be doing? Oh, by the way, this happened on Christmas. No, this happened on the last great day. You can read the context. We're not going to do that. But notice John chapter 9 verse 13. They brought him who formerly was blind to the Pharisees. Jesus heals this blind man. Remember? Makes spit and he anoints his eyes. And he goes to the pool and he comes back seeing. This was on the last great day, brethren. You think there's some spiritual lessons there? Isn't it amazing that on the last great day, the man that was blind has got his blindness removed? And then we read in other places that there are people that are going to be blind and not know the truth? You see you see what's going on here? They brought him who was formerly was blind to the Pharisees. Now it was a Sabbath when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. You know what the problem was? You shouldn't be healing on the Sabbath. Instead of, thank you so very much for taking the blindness away from this man who's been born blind. This is a great miracle. No, Jesus, you're healing on the Sabbath. Don't do that. Not the biblical Sabbath, their Sabbath. They had all kinds of rules about what you could do on the Sabbath. And the Pharisees also asked him again how he had received his sight. The Pharisees saying, we know you're blind. We saw you standing by this gate for the last probably 40 years. You're seeing now. Can you tell us again what happened that you can now see? He said to them, he put clay on my eyes, and I watched and I see. Some man put some clay on my eyes, and now I can see. Now let me ask you a question. Before he was healed, and Jesus is putting the clay on his eyes to heal him, could the man identify Christ? No, because he didn't know who he was. He was blind at the time. Does God call you after you know the truth? I knew the truth, and then God opened my mind. No, he didn't. No, you did not, brethren. You were in the world lost, blind. And God the Father sent Jesus and allowed him to open your mind. That's what he did to this blind man. It's a very funny story. He put clay on my eyes, verse 15, and I watched and I see. Therefore, some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God because he does not keep the Sabbath. He's healing on the Sabbath. He can't be a man of God. Let me rephrase that. He's healing on our interpretation of what the Sabbath is. Therefore, he can't be the Messiah because the Messiah wouldn't break our Sabbath. You know what would happen if Jesus was alive today and was preaching on Saturday? You know what people would say? He can't be the Messiah. He's preaching on the wrong day. He does not keep the Sabbath. Others said, how can a man who is a sinner, now if he's breaking the Sabbath, how can he kill people if he's a sinner? How can a man who is a sinner do such things? And there was a division among them. Some said, well, very important man. Others said, no, he's a fake. He's not keeping the Sabbath. Then they asked the blind man. Here they are asking the blind man. They're asking the blind man, what do you say about him because he opened your eyes? He said, he's a prophet. He's some kind of man of God. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received a sight until they called the parents of him who had received the sight. They get the parents, is this your son? Yeah. He says he was born blind. Is this him? Yeah, that's him. Because we want to make sure that we got our facts right. Maybe it's an imposter. And they asked him in verse 19, saying, is this your son who you say was born blind? How then does he now see? Explain to me, parents, how he can see. His parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son. We know that he was blind. But how he got healed, we don't know. You know why? They didn't want to be thrown out of the synagogue if they said that Christ had did it. But by what means he now sees, we do not know, or who opened his eyes, we do not know. He is of age. Ask him. He can speak for himself. He's over 21. Talk to him. His parents said these things because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already that anyone confessed that he was a Christ, they were going to throw him out of the synagogues. Therefore, his parents said, ask him. He's old enough to talk for himself. So then, verse 24, they called the blind man and said to him, give God the glory. We know that this man is a sinner. Obviously, there's been a great miracle, but he can't be a man of God because he breaks the Sabbath. So you just have to, we have to kind of overlook the sinner and just realize that God has healed you. Verse 25, he answered, said, whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. But one thing I know, that though I was blind, I see now. He's lecturing the religious leaders, this guy, this man that's blind. Then they said to him, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? He answered and said, I told you already, and you did not listen. Do you want to hear it again because you're trying to become his disciples? Then they reviled him in verse 28 and said, you are his disciple. We are Moses' disciples. We know that God spoke to Moses. As for this fellow, we do not know where he's from. The man answered and said to them, why, this is a blind man speaking. Why, this is a marvelous thing that you do not know where he is from, yet he has opened my eyes. Now we know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, he hears him. Since the world began, it has been unheard of that anyone opened the eyes of one born blind. Have you read the Old Testament, gentlemen, of anybody being born blind and having been healed? This has never happened before. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. You know, people often question you about the Sabbath. People that are blind, they question you about why you keep the Sabbath. And they question you about why you know what you know. And they say, no, you're not following God because it doesn't agree with what we teach. Being in the church, brethren, knowing the truth has never made people popular. Verse 34, they answered and said to him, you are completely born in sins. You know why they said this? There was a thing in the Old Testament that, like, if your parents sinned, it would be passed down to the children. Okay? So if you were born with certain deformities or you were born a certain way, that it was because of the sins of your parents. And so they said, since this man was born blind, and he was blind before he was born, then the sin can't be his own. It's got to be from his parents. That's the logic. They answered and said to him, you are teaching. They answered him and said, verse 33, if this man were not from God, he could do nothing. They answered and said to him, you were completely born in sins, and you're teaching us. And they threw him out of the synagogue. The plot thickens, brother. It doesn't stop there. Verse 35, Jesus heard. Now we're talking about blind and about blindness and about people don't know the truth when they're blind. And the lesson of the man born blind who has the blindness removed, now he sees the truth, and the people who see don't really see. And they're questioning him about his former blindness. There's lots of lessons there, brother. Jesus heard, verse 35, that they had cast him out and said, when he found them, he said to him, do you believe in the Son of God? He answered and said, who is he, Lord? You know why he said this? You know, we get all esoteric and we get all philosophical. He says, well, who is he, Lord? You know why he said this? He said, I don't recognize anybody. I don't know who this man was that healed me. That's why he said, who is he? It's not a philosophical question. He really didn't know. I don't recognize who healed me. Who is he? That's what he was saying. We tend to over-spiritualize things. Verse 36, he answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him? And Jesus said to him, you have both seen him, and it is he who is talking to you. I'm the man that did this. Oh, you're the one that made the clay and anointed him. You're the prophet. Because before, he didn't know who he was. You know why? He didn't recognize him. He couldn't see him. Did you know who Jesus was before you were converted? No. Do you recognize him now? Yes. You know why you recognize him now? Because the blindness has been removed. It's a perfect story of our conversion right here, brother. And what's going to happen in the future when blindness is removed from all these people we're talking about who are born blind. There is such a thing as truth, brother, and some people have been blinded to it. Verse 38, then he said, Lord, I believe, and he worshipped him. And Jesus said in verse 38, for judgment I have come into the world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may be made blind. You, brethren, have been made to see. And there are other religious people who claim to see that are blind. Then some of the Pharisees who were with him heard these words and said to him, are we blind also? You're talking about us then. Jesus answered, if you were blind, you would have no sin. In other words, you wouldn't know any better. But you now say that we see. In other words, you claim to be a teacher of the truth. You claim to see. Let me read it to you again. Jesus said to him, if you were blind, you would have no sin. In other words, if you were blind and you were like this man, I wouldn't blame you for anything. You didn't know any better. You were ignorant. But now you say that we have the truth, that we see. They claim to know the truth. Therefore, your sin remains. You know what your problem is, Pharisees? You claim to know the truth, and you're as blind as this blind man was before I healed him. Therefore, you still have sin in you. So here we have, brethren, a story of a man born blind who was healed, and the blindness was removed. He understood the truth, and then he recognized the Savior. There are people, brethren, who are still blinded. If you understand the truth, God has removed the scales from your eyes. He has removed them. There are some people that don't recognize the truth, not because they're blind, but for other reasons. There's some people that are blinded, and there's other people that just don't recognize the truth because they have certain problems. Let me talk about some of them. Let's go to John chapter 18. John chapter 18. I kind of touched on this. John chapter 18. Verse 37, Pilate said to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who hears of the truth hears my voice." Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" You know what the problem with some people are? They claim that there's no such thing as truth. If people believe there's no such thing as truth, they're never going to see truth when it hits them in the face. They refuse to believe in the truth. There are some people that God shows them the truth, and they go, "I don't want to see. Don't tell me what the truth is." I remember talking to some friends a long time ago. I was at dinner with them, not in the church. And they asked me about Christmas and about Easter and why we didn't keep those days. And I told them, "Let me tell you something. I can tell you the truth about all those things, but then you're going to be responsible for what you know. Do you want me to get into all that?" And they said, "No, let's have some more sweetbread." So we didn't talk about it because they didn't want to know. They were just making general conversation. There's some people that do not want to know the truth, brother. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Second Thessalonians. We're talking about why some people don't see truth when it hits them in the face. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10. Let me get to second, not to first. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10. "And with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of God, they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusions that they should believe a lie." You know why some people believe a lie? Because they don't want to believe the truth. Let me read you that again. Verse 10, "And with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved, and for this reason God will send them strong delusions that they should believe the lie." Talking about the man of sin. But the point is this, they're going to believe in falsehoods because they don't want to believe in the truth. Do you want to believe in the truth? If you don't want to believe in the truth, God is not going to be able to convince you. Because it takes you to do something with it. I wager to you, not that I'm a betting man, but I wager to you that there are literally millions of people that God has offered the truth to that have decided not to accept it. I think he's talking about me. Lots of people that have been given the truth and they don't want to accept it. And it says here, because they did not receive the love of the truth, what was going to happen? God's going to allow them to be deceived. People that are deceived because they were shown the truth one time, and thank you, but no thank you. So then they go back into believing what they want to believe. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. We're talking about why some people don't accept the truth. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Verse 2. "For I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy, for I have betrothed you to one husband." You know who he's talking to, brethren? He's talking to the church. He's talking to you and he's talking to me. And he says, "I have made it possible for you to be the fiancé of the God being that is called Christ. You're going to marry him." Marriage Supper of the Lamb, chapter 20, 19 of Revelation. "I betrothed you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." The Bible's teachings are very simple, brethren. They're not complex. There's no mysteries. There's no this, there's no that. It's very simple. "For if he who comes preaches another Jesus, whom we did not preach, or if you receive a different spirit, which we did not receive, which you have not received, or a different gospel, which we have not accepted, you put up with it." There was people that, "You mean, I think there's a Christ that was born on December the 25th. I think there's a Christ that he had long hair. I think there was a Christ that came to do away with his father's commandments. I think that there was, and so they believe that there's another Christ. And that's what it says. You have not received a different spirit, another Christ, another Jesus. Is there people preaching another Jesus than the biblical one? There certainly is. Is there people that preach a different spirit? Yeah, you don't need to have the Holy Spirit. Just come as you are. You don't need the Holy Spirit. You mean God is a judgmental God? Or different gospel? The gospel of the foundation of the prophets and the apostles, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone, not the foundation of men's traditions. It's a different gospel. Which you have accepted, you may well put up with. He was telling them, you know what? You got all these people coming to teach all these different things. And you know what? Instead of you saying, I don't want to hear about it, you say, tell me more. That's interesting. I had never thought of that. Let's go to verse 14. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers, you know, Satan has ministers, brethren. You know what Satan does? He lies. It doesn't matter what the scriptures say. You can keep these days. They're not in the Bible. Don't worry about it. It's God's intent for you to keep them. Therefore, it is no great thing, verse 15, if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their work. It is very easy, brethren, to be deceived. There are some people that through no fault of their own have grown up in households where the truth is never taught and they are just deceived. And they don't know the truth because they just don't know it. All of us in here, brethren, all of us in here are very, very lucky that we have come in contact with the truth. So some people don't recognize the truth because they say there's no such thing as truth. They don't love the truth. They want to follow a lie and they're deceived. Romans chapter 1. This is one of my favorite scriptures here. This scripture has a lot of meat in it. Verse 18 of Romans chapter 1. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. You know, there is such a thing as truth. Truth, this verse says, can be suppressed. And there are men who suppress the truth so that they can be unrighteous. So there are people that are unrighteous, that don't want the truth, and they suppress it so they can continue to be unrighteous. Read what the rest of the chapter says about what these people do. Talks about their alternate lifestyles. And you know why they believe that? They suppress the truth. There is truth, brethren. But some people, especially in society today, want to suppress the truth because it doesn't agree with the way they want to live. And that's why some people have problems with the truth. Some people don't like the truth because it is too strong for them. It is very strong. Truth is a very, very strong thing. John chapter 6. God does not, you know, the truth is not easy to accept. If it was easy to accept, you know, we would have thousands of people in here. You know, there's churches that have thousands of people in them. You know why? Because you can do whatever you want. You want to live together? Live together. You want to lie? Lie. You want to do that? It doesn't matter. God loves you all. God loved everybody, brethren. He sent the flood and destroyed humanity. But he loved them all. God loves everyone. Let's go to John chapter 6. John chapter 6, verse 53. Verse 53. Then Jesus said to them, this is John chapter 6, verse 53. Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. You know what that's referring to? Cannibalism? No. It's referring to the Passover. If you don't take the Passover, you're not going to live forever. Oh, but he's such a good person. Well, are you going to believe what you hear and are taught by the world? Or are you going to believe the scriptures? The scripture says that if you don't eat the blood of Jesus Christ, or drink his blood and eat his body, you're not going to be having eternal life. I don't know how much plainer you can get. Verse 54, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood shall abide in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. Are you and I feeding on Christ? Do we get our nourishment from Christ and his word, or do we get our nourishment from the TV, from music, from what's going on in your friend's mind? Verse 58, this is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats his bread will live forever. Verse 60, his disciples said, this is a hard saying. What are you talking? I mean, I don't understand all this. So you know what they did? A lot of his disciples left him. You tell people you need to take the Passover, you know what people say? I don't believe that. And they'll leave. They were thinking it was like literal. He was talking about his flesh and blood, the Passover service. You must keep the Passover for you to have eternal life. Verse 61, when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained, this is not the people in the world, this is some of his disciples complaining about, this is a very difficult thing to accept. About this blood and body. I mean, what do you think he means by this? Verse 61, when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, he said to them, does this bother you? What I just said, how's it sitting with y'all? What then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? What if this bothers you, what's going to happen when you see me ascending to heaven? Now, we know what happened because we read about it, but can you imagine that they were going to tell you that Jesus, this human being that was supposedly the Messiah, was going to rise to heaven? What would you think? That's weird. I don't know if I can accept that either. Verse 63, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. So you know what the words of life are? The words of life are in this book. Let me ask you another question. Third point. What is your attitude towards the truth? Can it affect you? How does it affect you? Ephesians chapter 4. This is why it says what it says here. We've looked at truth. This is why God gives this command to the church. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25. Therefore, putting away lying, let each of you speak truth with his neighbor. For we are members one of another. You know what we should do to each other? Tell the truth. Tell the truth. I often have people as a minister who come up to me and they want to know, they want to counsel with me about something. And I have to tell them the truth. Ugh. Not me, because I mean, I'm going to tell them the truth. But them, they're like, oh, I don't know if that's not what I wanted. Ooh, that's hard to accept. Because people have their own ideas. We are members of one another. What are we supposed to do? Speak the truth with your neighbor. That's what we should do in the church. We should speak the truth. Ephesians chapter 6. Go forward to verse 17. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And notice what it says in verse 15, and having shod your feet with the preparation, no, I'm sorry, it's verse 14, stand therefore having girded your waist with truth. You know what the soldiers did? This is talking about the whole armor of God. They put on this belt, and the belt, they hung their sword, and they hung a bunch of other weapons. If you don't have the belt of truth, there's nowhere to hang your sword. Mr. Dempsey gave an excellent sermonette a while back on the armor of God. You got to have the belt of truth. It holds up your pants. Without a belt, you're going to run around naked. You need that belt. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, and all these other things. So truth should be something we put on. Final scripture, Psalms 119. Psalms 119. Psalm 119. This is what we're supposed to do with the truth, how it affects us. Psalms 119. Longest psalm in the Bible. Longest chapter in the Bible, probably. Psalms 119, verse 31. Psalm 119, verse 31. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall keep it to the end. Talks about keeping the law, observing it, walking the commandments. Verse 39, turn away my reproach which I dread, for your judgments are good. Notice verse 42, so I shall have an answer for him who reproaches me, for I trust in your word, and I take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth. We should be praying to God that God keeps the truth in us. And that, you know, we walk in liberty, we seek your precepts. Read the whole section there. It talks about keeping the commandments. All of that is possible because of our great intentions and our fantastic intelligence? No, it's there because God gives us the truth. Let's go to John chapter 3, or 3 John. 3 John. I should have said final scriptures. 3 John. 3 John has no chapter, but notice verse 1. I want you to notice in these four verses I'm going to read you, I want you to notice how many times the word truth is used. How many times the word truth is used? John chapter, or 3 John, excuse me, 3 John. Yeah, 3 John chapter, or no chapter, verse 1. To the beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. For I rejoice greatly when my brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. What should you and I be doing? Walking in the truth. Should be keeping the words of the scriptures, which are truth. We should be making them part of our life. We should be guided by them. If we love God, we will love the truth, because God is truth. People say, oh, I love God. I would do anything for God. Well, do what he tells you. It's true. No, you're getting personal there. If we love God, we love the truth because God is truth. If we hate or deny the truth, then you know what we're doing? We're denying or showing hate to God. Don't take for granted that great gift you have been given, which is the gift of truth. It is very, very important. People want all kinds of things, brethren, in this life. You have what everyone is looking for. You have what everyone is looking for. You have the truth. We should thank God daily for that he has delivered us from darkness into the light of his truth.